Good morning. This service in memory of Leota is printed in the red hymnals in the pew rack in front of you, beginning on page 279. I also want to mention that following the service at the cemetery, everybody's invited to come back to the church, or if you're staying here at the church, to head downstairs to the fellowship hall where there will be a lunch and a time of fellowship. I invite you to stand. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the Savior of the world. We are gathered to worship, to proclaim Christ crucified and risen, to remember before God our sister Leota, to give thanks for her life, to commend her to our merciful Redeemer, and to comfort one another in our grief. All who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In her baptism, Leota was clothed with Christ, and in the day of Christ's coming, she shall be clothed with glory. Eternal God, maker of heaven and earth, who formed us from the dust of the earth, who by your breath gave us life, we glorify you. We glorify you. Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, who suffered death for all humanity, who rose from the grave to open the way to eternal life, we praise you. We praise you. Holy Spirit, and author and giver of life, the comforter of all who sorrow, our sure confidence and everlasting hope, we worship you. We worship you. To you, O blessed Trinity, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Our processional song is hymn number 856, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also
with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and glory, we remember before you today our sister Leota. We thank you for giving her to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage on earth. In your boundless compassion, console us who mourn. Give us faith to see that death has been swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live in confidence and hope until by your call we are gathered to our heavenly home in the company of all your saints, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And at this time, Lisa would like to share some of her thoughts about her mother.
We'll see if I can get through this. good morning. Thank you for coming to both mourn the passing and celebrate the life of Leota Christensen. I think I know most of you. If not, my name is Lisa McDonald, and I'm her oldest daughter. I will tell you that I wasn't ready to see her go. She had been in a wheelchair this last year in a lovely place called St. Andrews in St. Louis, not far from our homes, with a doting staff. And even with the diminishing memory, we always had the best of visits. Playing cards, working puzzles, or even just sitting on the deck and counting all of the deer in the yard. She always greeted us with a smile, an outstretched hand, and, "Oh, Lisa," when we arrived, introducing us to all who would listen. I think that might be one of her nicest qualities, is that she was just a really nice lady. And it wasn't just to us. The staff remarked the same thing. In fact, one of the staff coordinators at St. Andrews said that her passing was extremely difficult. And Devin Sullivan at Gambrel Gardens said that Leota was very welcoming to me when I started 3 years ago. I will always fondly remember our Kings in the Corner card games and our chats over coffee. So she was a nice lady. As I say my farewells, never goodbye, because she would say that means I won't see you again. So as I say my farewells, I'd like to mention a few qualities that I admired and hope that she passed along. I found her a very strong and independent woman. Perhaps that was the result of working on her parents' farm. I think she was the oldest of 10, and as so, she was asked to help with farm chores, driving the tractor, climbing apple trees, and she could call cows and herd hogs like the best. As a kid, though, I remember her tearing apart the lawnmower or the toaster or the faucet or a lamp and then saying, "Just don't tell your dad," because I don't think he really approved of these repairs. So that strength continued as she was on her own, and then later as she fought to give up her walker and ended up in a wheelchair. So strong lady. She was a hard worker. She allowed herself just one soap opera as we were growing up, The World Turns, which she was a devoted watcher. Otherwise, she kept herself busy with gardening, canning, and helping my dad at the family cabinet shop. She kept busy later sewing for others, after my dad had passed, sewing for others and folding towels at Hy-Vee. She was a charitable woman, always providing comfort, visiting the sick or lonely friends as children, often bringing an apple pie or zucchini bread or some cookies or some of those awful fruitcakes she would make. She also helped her beloved St. James Church, and so when my sister suggested that we have her remembrance here, this was perfect. She helped first as the, always behind the scenes, first with an altar committee and then later watering flowers or in the flower gardens. And she loved nature. As a child, I remember her sketching birds, and then when we moved here a year ago, I found those sketches, remembrances that I'll cherish dearly. She also loved flowers and to garden. And hopefully, I think some peonies she had on the yard, I think, were my grandmother's, and we brought some of those to St. Louis. Finally, she was devoted to family. First, she was devoted to my father. They were inseparable when they went to get coffee, just inseparable. They were inseparable in their activities. Both she would make refreshments and he would tell stories at the Civil War roundtable. And then when he got sick, first with heart issues and then cancer, she never left his side, sometimes only leaving to shower and change clothes. She was devoted to Lynette and me. I remember hearing stories that she kept me warm as an infant by heating up the oven in their very drafty apartment. She also carted us to school and to Girl Scouts and to band and to church and to swimming and to friends' houses. She was very devoted. And in one case, I didn't think we could afford for me to take flute lessons. And 5 minutes before the lessons were to start, she came in with a brand new flute. And then when I was a knucklehead and forgot it during a band concert in high school, she drove down to Peoria to deliver it so I could play. So she was very devoted. And finally, she was devoted to her grandson. Nothing could brighten her face with a huge smile than a visit from her grandson, Adam, of whom she was extremely proud. So with a heavy heart, I say farewell to a woman I admired a lot and will miss dearly. Farewell, Mom.
We'll turn next to our scripture readings. And the first reading is from the 25th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah writes, "On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, 'Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.'" Next is a reading of the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The next reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, the first chapter. Paul writes, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." And the final reading is from the Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. and you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. Here on the readings. Since Leota moved away several years before I came to St. James, I did not get the opportunity to know her personally. And so my thoughts as I reflect on her life this morning are based on her obituary and the stories that Lisa and Lynette so generously shared with me yesterday. Some of these things will sound familiar as Lisa has mentioned them, but just kind of helps me get a chance to think and reflect on who Leota was. From the obituary, for instance, we learned that she was born in Fenton, Illinois. I looked it up on Google Maps. It looks like it's not much more than a wide spot on the road, not far from Morrison. Her parents, Matthew and Sylvia, are mentioned. Her marriage to Carl in 1956 is noted. Her jobs as a beautician and dental assistant are also mentioned. Then the obituary makes reference to her membership here at St. James and in the Danish sisterhood for 50 years, which is a little curious because she wasn't all that Danish, but there she was. She participated in the Civil War roundtable, enjoyed sewing, playing cards, gardening. She was a proud grandmother and enjoyed spending time with her family and friends. And then finally, of course, the obituary mentions her family who survived her and those who preceded her in death. Beyond the basics, Lisa and Jim and Lynette and Mike shared a number of stories with me about Leota, things that I really found kind of interesting. They talked about her being the oldest of 10 children growing up on a farm. And apparently Leota took on the role of a firstborn son. I want to be careful how I say that, but she showed far greater affinity for the outdoor chores than the domestic ones. They marveled at the fact that at the age of 20, Leota decided to leave Morrison and move to Rock Island with no other plan than the fact that she was leaving Morrison and moving to Rock Island. No job, no place to live. Now, if I remember correctly, she settled fairly quickly, found an apartment with a friend and a job. And it was through one of those first jobs that she had in Rock Island as a dental assistant that she met the love of her life. Now, I don't remember which of you said this, but one of the daughters, and I'm letting you know that one of them said this just so you don't blame me for this, but said that Leota and Carl meeting in Dr. Potter's office, they described as a love at first cavity. Like I said, I'm not taking responsibility for that. They described the relationship between Leota and Carl as a lifelong romance. She was devoted to him, and when he passed away, she was very, very lost without him. They also described Leota as one who was organized and tidy, and that she always kept busy. She apparently was, and I don't hear this very often, so I've got to say it. She apparently was also not a very good cook. Somebody talked to me about one of the people coming in for the visitation, that she always gave him like a blueberry pie, several different kinds of pies, but every pie was covered in cinnamon. And he just kind of said, you know, blueberry and cinnamon. He didn't quite get that, but maybe that's Leota. She had cinnamon in the cupboard, and so she was going to use it. But while she may not have been a very good cook, she was gifted when it came to plants. She was able to resuscitate dying houseplants and produce abundant vegetables from her garden, which she frugally canned and froze and used, no matter how long they'd been there. And Lynette and Lisa talked about how social their mother was, that she was a very nice, very loving person. Finally, there's one more trait of Leota's that I found intriguing. And while Lisa and Lynette didn't specifically name this trait, it was something that I kind of inferred from their conversation, especially this beginning talking about her childhood. And I think it's maybe a characteristic that she carried throughout her life. And speaking about Leota growing up on the farm, and Lisa, you mentioned it too in your reminiscence, they surmised that she discovered she was mechanically minded and enjoyed tinkering with things. She would take things apart to fix them, and put them back together. And you referred to things like rewiring lamps and refurbishing lawnmowers. Leota, it seems, had a passion for fixing things that were broken. However, in our conversation, I also got the impression that it was not just things for which she had a passion to fix, but also the people in her life. Now, I don't want that to imply that Leota was intrusive in the lives of the people around her. Rather, she was one who always sought to take care of the people in her life when they were broken. Lisa and Lynette told me how Leota virtually never left Carol's bedside when he was diagnosed with cancer. She was there to take care of him. And that same trait held true when it came to other people. I was fascinated, Lisa, this fit right in with what I was thinking when you talked about how you left your flute behind here while you were playing a concert in Peoria, and she jumped in the car and brought it to you. I'm not sure I would have done that for my daughter. She wanted to care for and help the people in her life, as well as those she may not have known. And I also found this fascinating. You were telling me that her passion for fixing people who may have been broken was the fact that when she saw someone sitting by themselves, like, I don't know, you said maybe the mall or the cafe at Hy-Vee, she'd see somebody sitting by themselves, and whether she knew them or not, she would offer to sit with them so they didn't have to be alone. Leota, it seems, wanted to help fix people who appeared to be broken by life. God, I believe, has that very same passion. It is the same task that God is about through Jesus. What God wants and what God does through His Son is fix those who are broken and restore broken relationships. That is, in essence, what Paul is talking about in his letter to the Colossians that I read a few moments ago. In that passage, Paul describes Jesus as the firstborn of all creation. All things, Paul writes, came into being through Christ, and it was perfect. Unfortunately, what God created was broken by sin. God's children turned from God and from each other. So God sent His Son to reconcile what was broken. In essence, the meaning of reconcile is to fix. Jesus came to fix the people and relationships of God's children that have been broken by sin. And Leota was one of those broken children. As easy as it is at a time like this to remember Leota fondly and think of all the good about her, if we are honest, we must also admit that she was not perfect. I'm sure there were times when she frustrated her husband or her daughters. I'm sure that if I asked any of her 9 brothers and sisters, they could name something that Leota did that was less than saintly. That is the reality of all human relationships. They are, from time to time, broken. And the same can be said for her relationship with God. I'm certain there were times when she may have been angry or disappointed with God. I'm equally certain that there were times when God was disappointed or angry with her. At some point, all our relationships with God are broken. But God, like Leota, is one who desires to fix things. And so He sent Jesus to reconcile Leota and all of His children to Himself. God, out of His love for His children, forgives and heals those broken relationships. This morning, you mourn the loss of Leota from your lives as mother and mother-in-law, as grandmother and aunt, as sister, and as friend. She will certainly be missed. Yet today we can also celebrate our God who has a passion to fix things, especially His relationship with Leota and all His children. Through Christ, God has reconciled Himself with Leota and fixed all that might have been broken. And as a reconciled child of God, we trust that God has now brought her to that place, prepared for her by Christ. It is a place, as the prophet Isaiah describes it, where there is no mourning or crying, no illness or death, but only feasting and joy in God's eternal kingdom. Amen. At this time, I would invite you to stand as you are able for the hymn Amazing Grace. It's number 779. With the whole church, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's printed on page 282 in the front part of the hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and that through the grave and gate of death we may pass with him to our joyful resurrection. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage and who walk as yet by faith that your Holy Spirit may lead us in holiness and righteousness all our days. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to all who mourn a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Give courage and faith to those who are bereaved, that they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the comfort of a holy and certain hope and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to life everlasting. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant us grace to entrust Leota to your never-failing love, which sustained her in this life. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, and remember her according to the favor you bear for your people. God of mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks because by his death, Jesus destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection has opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Let us commend Leota to the mercy of God, our Maker and Redeemer. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Leota. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. Let us go forth in peace, in the name of Christ. Amen. And the service will continue at the cemetery.